Cessna announces still more layoffs. A NATO helicopter is down in Afghanistan. And the Eclipse 500 may yet be good to 41,000 feet. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 22nd, 2010. The experts at the National Bureau of Economic Research got together on a conference call last week and somehow concluded that despite rising unemployment and foreclosures over the past year, the recession actually ended in June of 2009. If you're not buying it, you're not alone. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton reportedly notified employees yesterday that another 700 jobs will be cut, on top of the 8,000 chopped since 2008, in response to continued weakness in new aircraft orders. The Associated Press is reporting the timing has not been determined, but the layoffs will be company-wide, attributing the info to Cessna's Doug Oliver. Scott Donnelly, CEO of Cessna parent Textron, explains, quote, "While we're seeing solid performance in most of our other businesses, we have not yet seen a discernible improvement in business jet order activity. Therefore, we are taking further production and restructuring actions at Cessna," unquote. Textron plans to issue third quarter financial results on October 20th. Coincidentally, that falls during NBAA 2010. What's being called the deadliest helicopter accident for coalition forces in 4 years claimed 9 lives in Zabul province in Afghanistan yesterday. The aircraft was a NATO helicopter, and a military source who has requested anonymity says most of the occupants were Americans. There are reportedly 2 survivors, identified only as a U.S. civilian and an Afghan National Army soldier. Local officials say the crash appears to have been caused by mechanical issues, but the Taliban were quick to claim they shot it down. That's a claim denied by NATO. Eclipse Aerospace has confirmed the completion of an enhanced windshield application for the dissipation of precipitation static and aircraft design changes for operation up to 41,000 feet. The company earlier committed to bring these upgrades to market for existing Eclipse aircraft owners after it acquired the assets of the former Eclipse Aviation. The FAA has certified the windshield application, which uses a thin carbon strip bonded across the windshield and to the aircraft structure, creating a conductive path. The company has also announced the successful completion of engineering requirements addressing the existing FAA Airworthiness Directive, restricting flight to 37,000 feet. Final certification of the aircraft modifications are expected by the end of this year. The mods will permit the EA-500 to return to a ceiling of 41,000 feet. Up next on ANN, a shuttle tank damaged in Hurricane Katrina will finally fly. An airport in Virginia is green-lighted for expansion. And Spirit Airlines plans an IPO. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. One of NASA's external shuttle fuel tanks that was damaged in Hurricane Katrina 5 years ago has been fully restored to flight configuration and will support the shuttle Endeavour on the last mission before the shuttle fleet is retired. The tank has been placed on a barge for a 6-day, 900-mile trip to the Kennedy Space Center. It should arrive on Sunday. Endeavour's mission STS-134 is currently scheduled for launch in February. It's taken 14 years so far, and the fundraising could yet take another year, but the FAA has approved a plan to extend the runway at Virginia Highlands Airport in Abingdon from 4,471 to 5,500 feet. The agency says it found no significant impact for the project. Airport manager Mickey Hines told the Tri-Cities newspaper that it's not unusual for such projects to be 20 years from inception to completion. The expansion will accommodate 75% of all aircraft weighing 60,000 pounds or less. The project would also require the relocation of State Route 611. Hines said the next steps are land acquisition and a design and engineering study. No date has yet been set for the start of construction. Spirit Airlines has filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for an initial public offering of up to $300 million in common stock. RTT News reports it's not yet known how many shares the company intends to offer or on which stock exchange the airline will be traded. The airline was founded as a trucking company in 1964 in Michigan. It began flying as Charter One in 1980, based in Detroit. The company began scheduled airline service in May of 1992 and relocated to new corporate headquarters in Miramar, Florida in 1999. Spirit moved into the low fare niche in 2006 and now flies domestic and international flights including Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, Dominican Republic, Mexico, and more. Reuters reports that the company will use the funds collected through the IPO to repay debt and to sever its relationship with Indigo Partners. It plans to retain $150 million of the net proceeds. Still ahead, St. Cloud University may drop its flight program. Gulfstream celebrates 25 years of the G4. And are airport body scanners in New Orleans redundant? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. The nationally accredited aviation program at St. Cloud State University in Minnesota is in danger of being eliminated as part of $14 million in budget cuts proposed by the school for its 2012 fiscal year. The move would also be a major blow to St. Cloud Regional Airport, where the university's program produces about 25% of the activity. The university sent out layoff notices to the tenured faculty in the aviation program last week. That meets a legal deadline for the action. The notices can be rescinded, but they could not be issued past September 20th. The St. Cloud Times reports that the program is the only nationally accredited aviation track near the large number of aviation-related industries in the upper Midwest. It's also one of the oldest in the country, dating back to 1930. The university says the program ran a deficit of over $250,000 last year and has the smallest enrollment of any of its departments in the College of Science and Engineering. But industry and community leaders say it's worth saving, and there is a plan under discussion to have the aviation program absorbed into the G.R. Herbinger College of Business. Gulfstream Aerospace recognized the 25th anniversary of the first flight of the Gulfstream 4 on Sunday. President Joe Lombardo reminisced, quote, "The G4 was the aircraft that launched 1,000 Gulfstream aircraft. It formed the foundation for designing and building the G300, G400, G350, and G450. The aircraft's first flight was a milestone and turning point for the company," unquote. The G4 attracted more than 80 orders while it was still in development. For nearly two decades, it was the long-range aircraft of choice for heads of state, private individuals, special missions, and air charter companies worldwide. Top speed is Mach 0.88, with maximum takeoff weight of 73,200 pounds, and the G4 can reach 45,000 feet. And finally today, the rollout of full-body scanners by the Department of Homeland Security is continuing. WGNO Television has broken the news to its viewers in New Orleans that the invasive new technology will be coming soon to Louis Armstrong International Airport. It'll be there by the end of the year. As is the case in other cities, reaction is mixed. Some viewers interviewed see the scanners as a necessary step toward thwarting terrorism. Others see them as an invasion of privacy. As is the case everywhere else they're installed in the U.S., the scans are optional. If you'd prefer not to have one, you can opt instead for a manual pat-down. But plan a little extra time. Unlike the scan, which takes seconds, the pat-down will cost you 2 to 4 minutes. Aero News has learned that female passengers traveling through New Orleans will actually have a third option in addition to scans and pat-downs. The technique, which is reportedly not planned for any other airport, involves sending the women to stand on balconies overlooking the airport lobby, while TSA screeners below throw plastic beads. That's the latest from Aero News. Okay, I made that last part up. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the conclusion of my interview with retired Air Force Colonel Rich Graham, one of the pilots of the SR-71 Blackbird. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.